This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 348 in the series. This session shares the Board of Health meeting held Wednesday, September 16, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Chair Bridget Sweet opens the meeting and reviews the usual protocol for conducts of such remote meetings. As for the recap, the Board of Health had met to review and revise the penalty order that they had approved at their prior September 2nd meeting. Feedback from Town Attorney Mark Sorrell led to this revision. The revision was approved by a 3-0 vote. As soon as the order and revision is available, the link will be shared. My show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, the Board of Health page, and my notes from the meeting. The meeting itself runs around 25 minutes, so let's listen to this Board of Health meeting.
Here.
All right, thank you. Staff, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Director of Public Health, Kathleen Liberty.
Here.
Health Agent, Ginny McNeil.
Here.
Awesome, thank you. So good evening. This open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health is being conducted remotely consistent with Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate the transmission of this virus, we've been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings. And as such, the governor's order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Further, all members of public bodies are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. The order, which you can find posted within the agenda materials for this meeting, allow public bodies to meet entirely remotely so as long as reasonable public access is afforded so that the public can follow along with the deliberations of this meeting. Ensuring public access does not ensure public participation unless such participation is required by law. This meeting will allow public comment as necessary. Please note this meeting is being recorded and that some attendees are participating by video conference. Accordingly, please be aware that other folks may be able to see you and take care not to screen share your computer. Anything that you broadcast may be captured by the recording. All supporting materials have been provided to members of this body are available on the town's website unless otherwise noted. The public is encouraged to follow along unless I note otherwise. Meeting business ground rules. We will turn to the agenda. Before we do so, we'll introduce each speaker. And all remarks should go through the chair. For any response, please wait until the chair yields the floor to you and state your name prior to speaking. If members wish to engage with other members, please do so through the chair, taking care to identify yourself at this time. Okay, and finally, each vote taken in the meeting will be conducted by a roll call vote. All right, let's go. Kathleen, do you have the meeting, the agenda available? It's just the one item, right?
Right, it's just the old business of penalty provision discussion.
Okay.
All right, so last meeting the board voted to enforce the governor's provision, and I drafted the regulation for the face covering order and gathering order and sent it to Mark Sorrell, our legal guidance, and he, in his opinion, he thought that the order was poorly written and may not be workable, and it really didn't, he didn't really feel like it set out a specific fine, although I might beg to differ with that, but he said that the Board of Health is still free to adopt and enforce its own regulations if they feel that it is a need, like with any regulation, it can't be willy-nilly. Is there a need to do this? So that's why I called you all, to another meeting, because it is doable to write a regulation based on what the Board of Health wants versus enforcing the governor's order. So that's why I asked you all here tonight, just to kind of revisit that.
All right, Kathleen, can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
All right, how many complaints are you and Ginny yielding on an average basis?
So Ginny's been taking most of them, but I think Ginny, we're getting they're steady. I would say. What do you think?
Steady. Yeah,
it's a steady. Ginny has been visiting a lot of the smaller retail stores, Dunkin' Donuts, not too many big food establishments. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we've had like two or three complaints for that.
I'd say we get one a day.
Okay, one a day. Yeah, and then
on Monday maybe five.
Yeah, the weekend, right?
Yeah. And then just to let you know, we have our first cluster in a business in Franklin. So that speaks loudly to me as well.
Okay, point taken. So based on the level of complaints that you're getting and the cluster, I would like to hear your recommendation before we vote on it, since you and Ginny are the ones that do all of the work. So do you think that a fine or a penalty will be useful for you all in enforcing these COVID orders?
I think so, because at first it was, look, you're gonna, if this happens again, you're gonna have to go before the Board of Health. I think if we have the same fine structure that you voted on the last time, 100, 200, 300 for the first, second, third, and then before the board for the fourth, I think that gives us a little bit more, to hold on to as far as enforcement goes at this point.
Okay, can I ask one more question? And do you want this to be relegated to just business entities or commercial entities?
So what do you think the difference is? I mean,
for example, say it is Friday night and Ginny gets a call that there's a neighborhood block party where people are not physically distancing, they're not wearing masks.
Yeah.
Is there the ability, or do you want the ability to fine, or would you rely on the support of maybe the police department to enforce that type of action?
Yeah. I'm nodding my head. Yes. I'd rather the police enforce that.
Yeah. And that's something that, again, I want to make sure that we're supporting the will of the department as well as protecting public health. So I want to make sure that we're advocating for what makes the most sense for you rather than making kind of our own decisions.
I think just face coverings too, Bridget. I really don't want to, I would really rather gathering, unless like I found out the Polish American Victory Club, I don't know, a private club was having 150 people, mm-hmm. For a wedding, and then we still have that authority to go in there and say, but for the complaints with the face covering seems to be most prevalent right now, I would rather that fining structure to be strictly on the face coverings.
All right. And then, all right. So do you or Ginny have anything further to add to that discussion? Because if not, I'm going to ask Jeff and Tim their opinions of the matter.
Ginny, you're the one who's out there. I mean,
no, I agree with what you said.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to bounce it back to Tim. Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think one thing that maybe wasn't clear when we first addressed these penalty provisions was the applicability to like a private party, right? And that was something that we had talked about a little bit, but it sounds like the concern is so much with the private with a private gathering as much as it is like maintaining face coverings in businesses, right?
Correct.
It doesn't even sound like the concern is necessarily the face coverings in public settings, like in like public property or like parks or outdoors, but that it's these entities, these business entities that you're concerned with.
Complaints about what's parks or anything like that. I mean, we get complaints about sports, things like that, sure. But that can be handled. But it really is the businesses, and and listen, to their defense, I wouldn't want to wear a face covering all day either, On the other hand, customers are complaining. They go up to a drive-through, and the mask is pulled down below its nose, and so they're not following the rules. So we have to have some recourse, I think, at this point.
And do you have any knowledge of whether or not the Franklin Police Department has received complaints about like about private citizens not complying with the orders?
I don't. I haven't talked to TJ about it, but prior to when this all started, the police department was all about education, education, education. So right. If they did see a group of kids or a group of adults, they would stop, pull over and stop and then go, you know, educate why it's important to wear face coverings or physical distancing. So that was really their take on this was just education, education, education. What we've been trying to do with with the food establishments and the businesses reopening and all of that, but
my reading of the governor's orders, whether that's enforceable by the police department or not, is not something that the board is going to comment on. But my understanding is that education is still the primary tool.
Correct.
That hasn't changed.
Correct. No, not at all.
And that would be your recommendation as well, that education would still be the primary tool.
Yeah. So, for example, Ginny and I received quite a complaint about a salon in town. So we go, we take the, COVID control plan, and we have them, explain exactly what they're doing. And, and then we'll let them know the importance of, XYZ. So that's the way we've been rolling out, like, education. But that's fine for the first time. That's fine. Second time, listen. But third time, and believe me, we've been getting multiples for the same place. Then it's time to say, all right. So that's what we've been doing, and what we kind of think is important to for an enforcement piece.
Have you talked at all or considered whether or not posting the potential penalties in these establishments is something that would be recommended, similarly to how we've had them post the recommendations that individuals wear face coverings?
We could definitely send a letter. That would be like to our food establishments.
Commercial establishments where you have no permitting authority, you would not have the ability to do so.
Right, where like the dance studio, Ginny and I, we struggled so hard with one dance studio, and we finally went there, and it was all wrong. I mean, all wrong. But listen, she thought she was doing everything right. So it was definitely, listen, I called her the first time. Ginny talked to her the second time. Third time we went out there, I think it was genuine that she thought she was doing everything right. So then we'll say, okay, no, you're not. So okay. Here's what you need to do. If we got that complaint again, then you're done. Okay. So that's where Ginny and I are coming from with all of this.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Jeff, what do you got?
As far as the residential goes, you come across a group of kids outside. It's hard for you guys to show up and say, hey, you guys have to break it up. Yeah, I think it's a thing. And maybe you guys would go with the police, meet them there, and explain to the kids this is what you have to do to educate them. But I think that would be the way to go for a neighborhood type thing, As far as commercial, how in the bathrooms they have the sign to wash your hands? Maybe put something in the bathrooms where it says, people that work here have to wash their hands, and as far as face masks go, this is the proper way that they have to be worn when you're working here.
I like that. And the CDC has that.
Yeah, they have those new infographics that are actually a little bit more user-friendly, I think, for sure. So maybe you can adapt those and send them out and then ask Ian Marie to post them, right, so they're available and people know where to find them. Because I find that going through the COVID website, knowing what I'm looking for is still challenging sometimes. So as a business owner, it may be difficult to navigate that. That website is not necessarily user-friendly. And then also the MHOA, APHC infographics are super helpful as well. So depending on what the business is, maybe you can point them to that direction. But I think signage is always a good thing. I just don't want people to think that the signage is the enforcement, right? So if there's signage at the playgrounds and kids aren't reading them, that's not the Board of Health's fault. That's not Park and Rec's fault. That's that individual, you know, that personal responsibility piece. And I feel like over time since March 13th, that message has been kind of diluted and become someone else's fault. So we all have to kind of continue to be, you know, responsible for our own behaviors and try to do the right things, you know, physical distancing, wearing a facial covering, and staying home when we're sick. So go ahead.
And I talked to Kathleen, I think, last week about it, and we discussed it. As far as the fines go, I say, you know, this, whether we have the bite to do anything to enforce it, I say give them the fines after the second time or after the first time and let them fight about it, you know. Give them a fine and let's see where it goes from there. Whether we have the bite or not, I don't know. But let's give them the fine and
Well, we definitely, once we voted in tonight separately, we have the authority to do so under 21, the non-criminal disposition. It just has to be, you know, rooted in rational thought and not like, we don't like this restaurant, so we're going to fine everyone.
Right.
which, you know, it sounds silly and facetious, but trust me, there have been weirder things. So we definitely can go through with the fining mechanism. We can make it specific to be, you know, commercial or retail business so that it's kind of making that sort of disclaimer, right, Kathleen? That's kind of where you were angling for to make sure it's would you want it to be in a public space? Like, I guess that's my next question. Like, how do you want, what would your ideal verbiage be as far as that sentence?
As far as the, hold on, my heater just went on. As far as what, I missed that.
Do you want it to be relegated or specific to commercial or a retail settings, or do you want it to just be in public spaces? Like, what would your ideal sort of verbiage be to reframe the previous vote of the Board of Health?
Well, the face covering for indoor spaces, right? So
yep.
If you can't maintain physical 6 feet of distancing. Yep. So I think I would just say in enclosed spaces of commercial and retail businesses.
Perfect. And then that way, like you said, when six feet of physical distancing can't be maintained. Because again, if you're working somewhere and you have the ability to either shut your door or be more than 6 feet away, you don't need to wear your face covering. You can work around that. All right, cool. Jeff or Tim, does that sound somewhat reasonable for further discussion?
Yep.
Does anyone want to make a motion of such?
I think as a preliminary matter, we have to withdraw the previous provision.
What are you, a lawyer or something? Do you play one on Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock? Is that what this is? All right.
Usually just once a month, but now, thanks to COVID, a little bit more frequently.
We are the coolest Board of Health ever, right, Kathleen?
Yes, you are.
All right.
Yes, you are, for sure.
So do you want to entertain a motion to withdraw the previous motion, which was September
1st, right?
Second.
September 2nd. Oh,
yes. Second. I don't know. I can't do math, apparently. Is there a motion to withdraw the previous motion that was issued on September 2nd at the Board of Health meeting in regards to the Executive Order 47?
Yes. Motion to withdraw the September 2nd penalty provisions.
Is there a second? Awesome. All right, all in favor? Tim?
Aye.
Jeff?
Yep.
And me is yes. So, okay, 3-0. Cool. Motion passed. And now is there a motion to reframe the verbiage for future fining penalty provision?
Yes. I move to establish a penalty provision for violations of failure to wear a face mask or facial coverings in any enclosed spaces, of commercial and retail businesses in the town of Franklin, starting with a written warning for first offenses, $100 fine for second offenses, $200 fine for third offenses, $300 fine for fourth offenses, and every subsequent offense.
Point of clarification, did you address the 6 feet of physical distancing?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
So that the enclosed spaces, I guess the verbiage should be any violation or failure to wear a face mask or facial covering in an enclosed space of commercial retail business when unable to safely social distance.
Perfect. Okay, cool. Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yep.
And I vote yes as well. And then one more sort of housekeeping item related to that motion. When would the board as collectively like to see this newer order enacted? Since the other one was sort of previously outstanding, is it safe to say effective tomorrow?
Yes.
A discussion? Okay. Everyone?
Yep. Does that sound? I think so. Yeah. End of day.
All right. So okay. Let me just make an amendment.
Yeah.
A friendly amendment to the motion that was previously. Can you add that point of clarification in again that, to be enforceable tomorrow, September 17th?
An amendment to the motion that the previously stated motion take into effect by the end of day on September 17th, 2020.
Heard. Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor? Oh, God, I can't do that anymore. Sorry. You think by March I'd get used to that. Tim?
Aye.
Jeff?
Yes.
And I vote yes. The motion passes. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Citizens' commentary? I'm going to throw that out. I think we have to do that because we're on Zoom.
I think you're absolutely right. So are there anyone on the call or on the Hangout Google Meet that would like to make a comment regarding tonight's discussion from the Board of Health? I think that's a resounding no.
Okay. And just one other housekeeping thing. Jamie was just kind of talking today about coming back and doing in-person meetings, and I wasn't sure what everyone thought about that. I know Jeff's a little leery, with good reason, I'm sure, and I didn't know about Tim and Bridget. Ginny, I think, leery, with good reason. Tim, Bridget, I don't know.
So I can share that I am a proponent of remaining virtual for as long as is possible.
Okay.
Even if we do return to an in-person format, I would like to be able in some way to maintain the option of having a virtual component just for this. Some of us have high-risk family members and understand that grateful that everyone on the board has been taking this as seriously as everyone else. If we can avoid unnecessary contact, that would be my position.
Okay. And Jeff's in the same boat, Kathleen?
Yes.
Jeff, I'm sorry, Jeff, you're here. You can answer for me. Jeff, you feel the same way?
Yep.
Then I would respect the wishes of the board and choose to stay remote as well, as long as my fellow board members feel that that's appropriate.
Excellent. Okay. I'm good with that. I think it's been working out very well.
I think if there was something that we needed to revisit separately, and we could figure out a way to maintain that physically distancing and create other protocols. But for now, where it seems that our meetings have been still, we're still able to have them, even when they're off schedule, like tonight, I think that as long as we're approachable and can meet in this manner until the other board members feel comfortable or until the state order says otherwise, we'll just continue in the remote fashion then, out of respect for my fellow board members. Perfect. Deal?
Thank you. Deal.
All right. Cool.
Excellent. I can't bring up anything else because it's not.
Yeah, nothing else on the agenda.
No.
So, all right, cool.
Until October.
All right. So with that being said, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
A motion.
All right. So, Tim, all in favor?
Yes.
Jeff? I think Jeff already motioned himself out of here. He's out. Jeff, is there a second?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And I vote yes. So we will conclude the September 16th meeting of the Franklin Board of Health at 5:25 Wednesday evening. Right. And Kathleen, I'll see you in a little bit.
Are you coming?
I'll be there at 7:05, I think, right? I don't know. Yeah, I'm logging in. I'll be there.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Of course. You got it, dude.
All right. Happy, happy.
Happy. Have a great night.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye. Bye.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.